You are listening to Live with Thrive, an interactive conversation with host Stephanie Hale of Thrive in Southern New Mexico. Stephanie will be showcasing nonprofit agencies and business leaders that help support the community through Thrive, as well as discussing upcoming events and local news. Catch the Live with Thrive show every second Tuesday of the month on KHII Active Radio, 88.9 Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and 102.3 Ruidoso.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, January 12th, and you know what that means? It is Live with Thrive, and I'm your host, Stephanie Hale, with Thrive in Southern New Mexico. And today, I have some amazing guests with me today. There we go. So first, I want to introduce everyone to my guests, which are Thrive in Southern New Mexico Board of Directors. We'll start with the current and wonderful president of our board, Ms. Patty Stone. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
And then next we have Ms. Vice President and President-elect, Ms. Shelley Young. Good morning.
Good morning. And good morning, Alamogordo and Lincoln County.
Yeah. And Cloudcroft.
And Cloudcroft.
Yes. And then we have our past president times 15, is it? 15
yeah,
times?
Not quite.
Miss Rhonda Cross, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Oh, thank you guys so much for being here. As you know, I've been so excited, and I was a little nervous, a little jittery this morning because this is our first Live with Thrive show, and I'm so excited that you guys, I bribed them to be with us this morning.
Wait a second. Bribed?
I didn't get anything.
Oh, well.
Can we get it after the show?
Yeah, maybe. So let's talk about Thrive in Southern New Mexico. So we are a local nonprofit for Otero in Lincoln County. And let's start with Miss Cross here, because you have the longest tenure of our board of directors. So tell us how you got involved and tell us a little bit about the history of Thrive in Southern New Mexico.
Well, I got involved in, let me think, it's got to be probably about 1989, 1990. And a very lovely gentleman named Bart Garrison came to me and said that he was working with, and of course back then it was called United Way, and asked me if I would participate on the campaign committee. And explained to me, because we did things very differently back then. We had community members who made up the campaign committee, and there were about 50 or 60 of us.
Wow.
And we would put together the little contribution bags, and then we would have a set number of businesses, and we would know those in advance, and we would go in prior to the campaign, and we would, you know, shake the person's hand, meet with them, and say, "Hi, my name is Rhonda Cross, and I work with," back then it was United Way, "and I'm going to be your campaign contact, and here's what I'm going to do for you." And so then we had a little script of, you know, we'll do the presentation, we'll bring you your bag that has your list of employees, and it had your campaign cards in it, and it had pamphlets for the campaign that showed what agencies we had and all of that kind of stuff.
And at that time, you explained what it is the United Way did.
Well, I actually,
for the community.
Actually, we didn't, because we had so many businesses involved with United Way back then that most of the businesses that we went into as campaign members already knew. So it was the campaign chair and co-chair who went to new businesses and worked with new businesses. We were working with established businesses that had already that ran internal business campaigns.
Oh, that's great.
And so we would drop off the packet, do the little do the little song and dance of, this is who we are, here are agencies, and, you know, you would do the happy stories and the sad stories, and, You know, I have always been a firm believer that if you could tug on somebody's heartstrings, then the purse strings just automatically opened.
And that still happens today.
You know, so, and so you did those kinds of things. And then, at that time, whoever was the, either the owner of a small business or the CEO or whoever their appointee was, they would then tell you and usually give you, an idea of what that organization was doing as far as whether they were going to match up to a certain percent or what the corporate contribution was. There was a breakfast that was had for the CEOs at that time where they actually took their check and gave it to United Way, which was the CEO kickoff breakfast.
Sure.
But
which we still do as Thrive.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then as a campaign person, I would drop off the stuff, do the little presentation, and we had training. So we were well trained and well rehearsed on what to do and how to do it. And then most of the time the people would fill out the campaign cards then. Mm-hmm. You'd get some of them back, and then over the next week or so you would go maybe two or three times to pick up the remaining campaign cards. And then within a few weeks' time, you'd pick them up, because back then our campaign was for 30 days. We ran a 30-day campaign, so it was short, sweet, and I mean, really, really on the go.
Well, that's great. I mean, it's really exciting to hear when I talk to Rhonda about this a lot, when she's done the song and dance with me at businesses in the community. And it's so exciting to hear that when we are talking about our history of our agency, that the community is always so giving and has been for so many years. I mean, we have so many nonprofits in our community, in our communities, really, because we serve Cloudcroft and all of Alamogordo and soon Ruidoso and Carrizozo. So we're very excited and to know that there are so many giving hearts out there. So what can you tell us about going through the change of the name of from United Way of Otero County to Thrive in Southern New Mexico? Because I get asked this all the time. Mm-hmm. And most people here locally know the story and know of our agency back when it was United Way, but you know, we've been Thrive in Southern New Mexico now for over 3 years, and we are so strong in our community. So can you share with us how the change happened and going forth?
Sure. Probably about 10-12 years ago, it was United Way of America, and they converted to United Way Worldwide. Well, then when they changed from United Way of America to United Way Worldwide, they decided they needed to change the mission of their organization. And so what we always did and what United Ways always did is they collected money, and then they had partner agencies, and they would help fund those partner agencies. Well, because that wasn't at once we went once United Way went worldwide, and that no longer applied in some other third world countries and those kinds of things, what they decided was they were going to begin this push of
she's miming, everyone. She's miming.
I'm Italian. I talk with my hands. If she I have does. To keep my hands still, then I stutter. But they decided what they would go with, and they would start looking at United Ways being more community-based, in that they wanted United Way to no longer fund agencies that had a specific mission. They wanted United Way to have that specific mission, develop that specific mission, to put together a community-based committee to look at what your community needed, and that they would then make a determination of one or two things that your community needed, and they wanted United Way then to fund those efforts.
Meaning that our agency would provide those programs,
right,
that are being offered already in right. existence in our communities.
Yes, and actually it was community impact was what they was sort of their word was community. They wanted United Way to have community impact, but they wanted United Way to be the agency that impacted the specific mission or goal. For instance, if we decided teen pregnancy was an issue in Alamogordo, they wouldn't want us to fund somebody like Pregnancy Help Center or somebody like that who already looks at that and helps and educates and does those kinds of things. They would want us to hire the staff, hire the educators and that type of thing, and so that United Way would then be the agency who provided the direct services.
So basically, our agency would be competing with the very agencies
exactly.
that we already help.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And so myself and I was president for a couple of different years back then, and myself and my vice president attended some online trainings and meetings to try to understand what that was about. And then after we went through the training and we had some question and answer time, they said we didn't think for our small community that would work, that we already had agencies that covered a broad spectrum of right. programs in our community, because we didn't know if our community was an anomaly or if other small communities were like this. But we felt that we would could provide the best service by continuing to do what we already did by fundraising and then providing those funds to the agencies who provided the services. And United Way Worldwide then told us, no, they were rebranding. And what they wanted to do was they wanted to be the agency that provided the direct service. So, and it was not a mandate at that time, but it was a suggestion and it was a recommendation, and that at some point moving forward, it would become, more of a mandate.
Right.
Well, then over time and over years, we realized that they were moving more and more towards this community impact type programs. And then I think the last and as an aside, every year as board members, we would complete a board survey that United Way would send to us, and it was specific questions, and we would be scored as a board and as an organization. Well, the last 2 years that we were United Way, we scored very low on their survey, because the first year, about half of the questions were about our community impact program, which mm-hmm. we didn't have one.
Right.
And if we didn't have one, then it was, do we have a strategic plan to move into community impact? And of course, we didn't, because that was not going to be a good fit for us.
Right. Yet again, competing with all of these agencies
exactly.
that we've been helping for many years.
Exactly. And in my opinion, whatever goal we decided or whatever service we decided we needed to provide, there would be an agency that we would probably put out of business. Because of our ability to go to employers and raise money that other agencies don't have, and because of the payroll deduction option, mm-hmm. that we would likely put somebody else out of business. But as a side note, we would have 12 to 15 other agencies that would be sorely hurt, because we would no longer be able to fund them.
Because we're funding our own.
Because we become our own agency.
Right.
We would become our own agency.
So in a roundabout way then, that was the main reason for coming together as a board and staff and figuring out a way, how can we continue as an agency without hurting our community,
yes,
but to better it.
Yes.
And so then you all got together, came up with the idea, well, let's separate from the United Way brand and organization and become our own entity.
Well, and that was a 16 to 18 month process. Sure. That was, you know, the initial, when we got the results back from that first board survey, and we scored down around the 21st or 23rd percentile. We were low, really low. We said, okay. And so it was discussed, well, why did we score so poorly? And, you know, we had to explain. We can't answer. We had to answer NA on several of the questions.
Because it didn't pertain.
It didn't pertain to us, nor would it pertain to us, because as a board, we decided we did not want to move into community impact.
Sure.
We felt like we had the most impact by being the fundraising arms for these agencies, some large, but most very small.
Sure.
Very small agencies. You know, some of these agencies were no larger than we were, where we've been staffed over the years with two, maybe three people. We have agencies that aren't much larger than that.
Right. And still do.
And so they're not able to reach out and do the type of fundraising that we can do for them. And so we felt like that was the niche that we filled here in our community, and that we had done that pretty well over the years. And so we didn't want to move out of that. We didn't feel like we could do that. We were doing our community justice by trying to move into community impact. And so the second year we were even far worse. And of course that second year was also the first year of our original gun raffle calendar event, and United Way Worldwide really gave us heck on that and actually required us to suspend selling the calendars because they told us it violated our contract with them. We had to seek a legal remedy for them to recognize that we didn't violate our agreement. We had our agreement looked at prior to us doing this.
Right.
And our attorney said, no, absolutely, there's nothing in here that prohibits you. Well, then, and I think that was, we were already moving into, we probably need to move away from United Way Worldwide. But I think that was kind of...
That was the straw.
I think that, I think it was more United Way Worldwide worked as a boot in our tail to kind of kick us into really literally making the decision and moving on.
Yeah.
They changed the contract to keep us from...
Doing it a second year.
So.
Well, they changed the contract for us and us only.
Yes.
They sent different contracts out to every other United Way Worldwide. Our contract had an addendum to it that said we could no longer continue our calendar raffle. Even though there were other United Ways, and we had done our research.
And there still are, by the way.
There still are.
There are other United Ways they have shooting events where they win guns. They have raffle events where they sell guns. They have all sorts of gun sporting events at, you know, trap shooting, at gun ranges. They were allowed to do that. But we had to stop. And so with that, it was, you're done. And so we said, okay, well, that was sort of the caveat that kind of launched us into, okay, this is the time. We've been waiting for, you know, we've been waiting for that magic moment. This is it.
And boy, was it a great thing to do, because I think that first year with the firearms raffle, there were 180 firearms to be given away to, there were two per week for an entire calendar year. Mm-hmm. And boy, did we sell out, or nearly sell out.
Yes.
That was right before I came in, right when Thrive became Thrive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been doing a calendar almost every year. We took a year off. But then this year,
It's another amazing firearms raffle in Otero County benefiting Thrive in southern New Mexico. The 30 Guns in 30 Days raffle is your chance to win your share of 30 firearms. Your ticket can be drawn up to 30 times, so don't delay. Get one while you can. Tickets are $50 each, and there are only 1,000 tickets to be sold. You can get your tickets at Western Ace Hardware, 412 9th Street, at the Thrive in southern New Mexico office at 1601 10th Street, or call 575-437-8400. Must be 21 years of age or older. The 30 Guns in 30 Days raffle. Get your tickets now.
Okay, if you don't have your ticket, we've got another one going, so come on by the Thrive office. That was a nice little plug right there, right?
Right.
So, well, thank you for letting us know all of that information. I mean, it's important, I think, for the community to understand where we come from as an agency, a nonprofit, to help everybody in the community. But it's also important for the listeners in Lincoln County to understand where we come from, because they're going to be seeing a lot more of us here in the near future.
Yes. Well, and one of the important notes on the reason we do fundraising is to cover, because we have administrative costs just like every other business has administrative costs. Our goal for the almost 30 years or 30 plus years I've been on this board, our goal has always been to fundraise separately for our administrative costs, and so that 100% of what we collect in donations from employers and employees through our campaign could be given out to our agencies. And that first year with that calendar raffle was the first year ever that was possible.
That's amazing. And yes, we are going to hopefully get to that point again. You know, every year is a learning experience, and we just keep growing and growing in that way with our fundraising efforts. Of course, until 2020 came along and shattered all of our fundraising efforts, which brings me to you, Ms. President.
Oh, hello.
Ms. Patty Stone. So I want to talk with you about, she's looking at me, folks, like I'm going to harm her in some way. You have been president for the last 2 years for the board of directors of Thrive.
Yes.
And can you share with us, you know, your first year as president, how things were going? You know, we had so many events going on, and then here comes 2020 and pretty much knocked us off the shelf with fundraising efforts. So what is your take on all of that?
We learned how to Zoom.
We sure did.
Yeah, it kind of hit us like with bricks.
It did.
It kind of stopped us. We didn't have our meetings anymore. We weren't able to have the golf tournament. We did have that one gun. We had one gun raffle.
We had a gun raffle. Yes, we did. And then the Grill and Chill, which was last year also, another great fundraising effort on our behalf. Let's back up even further. So you've been with the Thrive in Southern New Mexico organization for how long?
5 years.
5 years?
I want to say it's 5 years.
What led you to want to come and be a part of this organization?
Well, I forced her.
The wonderful lady that was just speaking, Rhonda, invited me to go to an FAC, so the Fund Allocation Committee at Desert Sun, and sit in and listen to all the agencies and disperse the money. And mm-hmm. it made me see the needs that are here in the community with the different agencies. And it just strung my interest into wanting to do more.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, and we'll talk about funds allocation here in just a little bit. But when you go into listening to all of these agencies that so desperately need funding, even pre-COVID, you know, you just want to open your heart. And like Rhonda said earlier, open your purse and just let it all fall out to every single one of them.
Yeah, you want to give the money to everybody.
You do.
And I think the first year I did it, we were able to almost give everybody everything.
The first year you served on funds allocation was the first year of the gun calendar. So we actually
It was before that.
Was it?
Yeah. Okay, and we 100% funded everybody. And then the second year we were a little bit short, but last year was hard. Last year was a hard one.
Yeah. And that was, I mean, I remember being in funds allocation the first week of March, which then everything shut down by the end of March. Mm-hmm. So that was like our last, you know, pre-mask, pre-don't breathe on me kind of moment.
Don't touch me, don't be near me.
Right. Yeah. And it's tough. It's tough to choose. And, how you know, we don't always have all of the money that everybody asks for. And we want to be able to get to that way. So let's talk about funds allocation. And any of you can chime in. We actually have funds allocation approaching very quickly. Our community nonprofits turn in an application, which they just did on this past Friday.
Friday was the deadline. Mm-hmm.
Friday was the deadline. And, you know, these folks need money now more than ever. You know, a lot of them stayed open during this current pandemic that we're in. And they're still serving the public, and even more so now because we have a lot more need now.
They didn't get to do any of their fundraisers either.
Right.
So, it's going to be a hard year.
So let's talk about the funds allocation. We call it for short FAC, Funds Allocation Committee. And so let's talk about that. Who wants to go? Dun, dun, dun.
Well, it's a committee, and chime in when you want. So you have, we have a committee put together, and we have this, Isaac leads it, Isaac Muncy. And what he do, we have different people of the board who'll go out and they visit with the different agencies. So they tell us about their programs. And then we come back with a report. And so we all, as the committee, we all have a book and we see the reports and we talk about them.
Now, is it a committee of Thrive board members?
No.
No, it's community. It's,
right. And so this would be a perfect time to plug. So if you want to do something, if you want to see what Thrive is about, I can tell you that this is the perfect committee to start on. And we have some board members, but what we really like to do is we like the majority of our funds allocation to be community members. Yes. And this is where the rubber meets the road when it comes to our organization.
This is exactly why we're here.
Yes, because they get to hear what the agencies, you know, about their program. They get to hear about the program, how to fund the program. They get to hear all that stuff. And then they get to see how we have to actually allocate that money to them and the other agencies. And when you have, 10 pots and you only have 8 pans.
Right. That's a good analogy. Yes. And it is. I mean, even you, Shelley, because you've been on the board for about a year now.
Right.
And or a little over a year. And one of the first things you did as a Thrive board member is you came into the funds allocation committee. And wasn't it such an eye-opening experience?
Yeah. Oh, it was the best place to start. Because you finally get to, you hear about all these nonprofits, and being a Alamogordo native, I've heard about all the nonprofits, but you know, when they come in to talk about their programs, how underfunded they are, what their needs are, how it impacts our community, it really tugs at your heart. And so, just like Patty said, when we all come together afterwards, it's so tough to distribute those funds and we try hard to give everybody something. And so, you know, if someone's left out, it's hard.
And it's, and me being a staff member, a Thrive staff member, I cannot participate in the committee itself with making the decisions, but I have been present, in the last three that we've done. And it gets the discussion amongst the committee members, it gets pretty heated because let's say you, Rhonda, are extremely passionate about one of those and feel that they need a certain percentage of this pot of money that we have collected from donors. And then Patty, you may feel strongly about a different one. So some of the committee members really get it gets intense
emotionally.
But the one real unique thing about the way we do this is every single member of FAC has an equal say.
Yes.
Because what we do is every single one of us fills out a form that allocates the prescribed amount of dollars, and we get a form that shows how much they asked for, how much was designated, which if the dollars were already designated out of the campaign, that takes out of the amount of dollars we have to allocate. They get those.
Right.
But there are also, you know, and people will question, okay, Thrive raised $400,000. Then they come to FAC and say, well, wait a second. How come they're only giving $83,000 away? Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. Thrive is a unique organization. We not only raise funds for our affiliated organization, but if somebody fills out their contribution form and they want to allocate, say, their contributions to their church, and they want to, and because maybe they have an employer who will double their contribution or add an additional amount. They will allot in a different amount for, you know, another $50 or whatever. So people have wised up to the fact that, oh, I can give to my church and my employer will give an extra $100 or an extra $50, or they'll match mine up to 25% of my contribution. So now I can give my church 25% more.
Right.
So now we have people, we have more so than ever before, we have folks who are allocating dollars to organizations, nonprofit organizations that are outside the partner agencies of Thrive. So folks think, you know, you come to funds allocation, and I had to explain to one of the new girls last year because she said, I don't understand this. I thought you guys raised like $360,000, and I had to explain, but not all of that are to these agencies. And so she didn't understand that. But what is unique about this is you fill out your allocation form, and then if there are 20 people on the committee, you have 1/20th of the say. Right. So what we do is we go around, and if it for the first agency, if it's Alamogordo Senior Center, then everybody goes around, and if there are 20 of us, then we each give what we say we allocated. Linda, our executive director, takes that, divides it by 20, and then that's the allocation amount. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully, if everybody did their math correctly, by the time we get down to the bottom, we are usually just a few pennies off.
Yeah.
Because if everybody allocates their dollars correctly, and so everybody on that committee gets an equal say. So even if you feel more passionately towards one organization than another, mm-hmm. You know, I have been shocked at agencies I felt very passionate about. And as we went around the room, and then I hear somebody say zero, and I'm thinking, what in the world are you doing? Yeah.
Because they're passionate about another one.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's what makes it so unique and so productive, is that you get a group, such a vast array of different types of people and what they're passionate about. So again, like Rhonda mentioned earlier, if anyone is interested in being on the funds allocation committee this year, now would be the time to let us know. You can certainly call the Thrive in Southern New Mexico office at 437-8400 and let us know that you would be interested. Now this year,
Make sure you let us know you want to volunteer for FAC or funds allocation or we might just bring you onto the board or something else.
We'll
find some place for you to volunteer, promise.
These board members, I tell ya. we want to make sure that if there is anyone, and every year we have a few new people on the board.
Yes.
And then there's also folks that that have done it year over year because they are so passionate about it.
And just so that you know, just a real brief rundown of what we do with FAC. If you're looking to maybe dip your toe in, this would be the perfect committee to do that because it's a very minimal obligation and it's condensed down to about a 1 month period of time. And what we do is if you volunteer, then you're assigned to a team. That team then is assigned usually somewhere between 3 and 4 agencies to do the site visits, which is what Patty was talking about, where you actually go out to the agency, walk through the agency, see what their building and that kind of stuff looks like.
And you have at that time to ask questions about that program
absolutely.
That they're wanting to get funded on. So,
and not just the program, about the agency in general, and what else do you do here, and how many people do you serve, and so you get to ask all of the questions. And then that takes place about a week or two before we have our actually FAC interviews. And that is for, I think we do those over a 3-day period of time.
Yes.
And so it's 3 evenings after work, usually 5 to 7, 5 to 7:30. And we do feed you. So
we do let you go home.
Let me just stop you real quick because this year may be a little different because of mass gatherings. Oh, I know. That's right. We're in a pandemic, I think. So we may be doing it all virtually this year.
Okay.
We're still working out the logistics of that. So, but if we can have a mass gathering, I doubt it'll come by March, but we know, who knows?
Right.
Who knows?
But it's usually the second week of March that we hold the hearings, or interviews. And then through that, we hear each agency has a 15-minute slot. And then if they have a second program, I think they get an additional 10 minutes where they can talk to you about their program. If you were not one of the people who interviewed or did the site visit with them, then the people who did the site interview can help answer some additional questions and that kind of thing.
And I have to say, some of these agencies are very good at bringing in their program, and they bring in their little kids.
Mm-hmm. Or their seniors.
And they tell you stories, and yet again. They tug your heart.
Yes. They do. They do. It's so hard, like we said before, it's so hard to say no to these folks. Speaking of our agencies, let's listen to one of our current agencies right now.
My name is Brenda Dorsey, site manager for Big Brothers Big Sisters. We need you. There are 2 ways that you can help us to help our children of Otero County. You can donate money to recruit and support matches, or you can become a big by giving 1 hour a week of your time to be a part of a match. For more information, please call me at 575-708-0716. Again, 575-708-0716. Thank you in advance.
That was Miss Brenda Dorsey with Big Brothers Big Sisters in Otero County. She is live with Mike every Thursday, second Thursday of the month, I should say. So they have been... we used to call them partner agencies. Now I believe we've kind of straddled over to the partner program or community program, rather. And so they do phenomenal things in our community. And Shelley, I want to talk with you now because you are you're the vice president, and congratulations, you are about to be in a couple of weeks our new president of the board of directors.
Yeah, Patty's a little too excited.
Yes, she is.
I've been at it for 2 years.
So thank you again for stepping up and leading this this amazing board that we do have.
Oh, it's amazing.
What led you into, before we get into our agencies, what led you to want to be a part of this organization?
Well, you know, as previously I worked in a nonprofit, and just working for a purpose. And then after I got out for a while and kind of looking at the community as a whole and how I could actually make an impact, where is the biggest impact? And so I contacted Rhonda after I thought about Thrive, and she had been a board member of a nonprofit that that I'd worked for. And so I asked her if I could be a board member, you know. She didn't have to do much to convince me. I just knew about how amazing the board was.
The answer's always yes.
Yep. And so, and then the opportunity came up, I think, in November to step into the vice president's role, knowing that for the next 2 years I would be president. So,
and then 2 years after that, past president. So you're in for quite a long haul.
A long haul, but that's okay.
It goes fast.
It does.
It does.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, with COVID right now, it's complicated. You know, but we're not doing much, and so I'm looking forward to maybe half of 2021 and all of 2022, just being full of events and just getting out there and actually being able to visit people and you know, talk about Thrive again. We're so excited about this radio Live with Thrive because we're actually able to get out and get our message out, you know, and what we're doing in the community. So
yeah, that's so important. I mean, that's my job. Every day is keeping our name out there and getting out to, you know, letting people know what it is we do. And then, you know, when we're stuck at home, working from home or in the office, you know, it's hard to continue. And so you're kind of limited to airwaves and social media. And so, you know, when this opportunity, I won't say I bribed Bob and John and Mike either, but when this opportunity came along, I mean, we were extremely thrilled to be able to yet again another stepping stone for us to continue our message and what it is we do, because there's people that have lived here all their lives and still don't understand what we do. And we want to make sure that everyone knows and that everyone can help their favorite charity or their church, their son's Little League team or their favorite animal rescue. You know, as long as it's a nonprofit, we can certainly help. And, you know, when you walk towards someone and you ask them for a donation, a lot of folks think, oh my gosh, I don't have the money to donate $100 right now. Well, you don't have to do it that way. We make it so easy. That is the whole purpose of our organization, is we make it easy for you to donate to your favorite charity. And through a payroll deduction, you can do a biweekly or a monthly donation through your credit card even, or your bank. I mean, we have so many different avenues for you to do a little bit at a time. And I'm telling you, if it's a buck or two, that adds up so quickly. And if, I mean, it does. I mean, we have people in some of our larger businesses in our communities that offer payroll deduction, and folks are only donating, you know, an hour of pay, which sounds like nothing. But when you add it up for the whole year, and if, you know, 20 people do that, or even 10 people do that, it adds up. And then these nonprofits in our community then can continue on with the services that are needed. So you're giving, but then they're giving. So it's like a circle of life of nonprofit.
Right. Even if you just take that $5 a pay period and have it deducted, you're not going to miss it.
You're not going to miss it.
It's a cup of coffee.
Isn't that crazy that a cup of coffee costs $5?
Right. One burger a month.
I know.
Giving up, you know?
I know. So, you know, I just played Brenda's Big Brothers Big Sisters message, but I just want to go over the programs that we are currently funding. So if there is anyone that is listening and would like to still donate, our campaign is still going on. We call it the Drive to Thrive. And I think that is so clever.
It is.
We'll just go down the list here, not to leave anyone out, but we have the Meals on Wheels with the Alamogordo Senior Center. And, of course, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, their STARS program, Students Taking All the Right Steps. Boys and Girls Club, after school and summer programs for this campaign. And COPE, we have two programs with COPE, domestic violence counseling and community outreach. And I will tell you that their community education and outreach has kind of halted during COVID because they're not able to go into the classroom and talk about what it is they do. But they still have stayed open during the pandemic, and they still are offering the domestic violence counseling. So they've been extremely on the ground during this whole pandemic. So we applaud them for that. We also have the Cloudcroft Municipal Schools. The Cloudcroft Summer Youth Program is what they offer. We have Dolly Parton's Imagination Library. Awesome, awesome program. Every kid from birth to 5 years old gets a free book every month. And so by the end, they have this whole library of books, I think, and it's for free.
Yep.
To the children.
Yep.
We have applications of those in our office as well, 1601 10th Street, if anyone needs to sign up a child. We have Kids Inc. Child Advocacy Center, two programs with them, Courthouse Facility Dog, which is Sunny Days, and then we have the Victim Supplies and Resource Closet. Love Inc., we have Bags of Blessings. Service Heart has the CASA, which is court-appointed special advocates, and then just a few more. Gosh, we serve a lot of programs in our communities. We have the home-delivered meals and homemaker services with the Sacramento Mountain Senior Services, which is the senior center up in Cloudcroft, SANE, which is sexual assault nurse examiners, and the Tularosa Senior Center, their congregate meals, and, of course, Zia Therapy Center, the child care and development program. So, I mean, there are so many nonprofit agencies in our community, which goes back to what Rhonda was saying at the beginning of our show, that there are so many that cover such a broad spectrum of need in our community that had we had gone the opposite direction with United Way, we would be competing with these very agencies. Amen. So luckily for us and our community, our very, very giving community, we are able to help all of these organizations. And even more outside of the ones I just listed, because you can donate to any nonprofit of your choice. We just make it easy.
Yeah. So if, not if, but when you see Stephanie or the information come into your employer, please know that if there is an agency or is an organization or agency, or if there's an agency on here but not a specific program that you feel warm about, then know that on your contribution card, you can write that. You can specifically designate your money. For instance, if you want to do something with Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and you know of a specific program, and it's not their after school or summer program, you can specifically put
Boys and Girls Club.
I'm sorry, put Boys and Girls Club, and list whatever other program, and then that money will be designated to that specific program and will go to Boys and Girls Club.
Yes.
For that specific program. Or if it's your church, or if it's some other nonprofit organization, and it doesn't, and if for whatever reason, if there is a nonprofit organization anywhere in the county, anywhere outside of the county or outside of New Mexico, we send that money as well. Of course, we would prefer to help those in our community.
Sure.
But if you have a parent or a grandparent that is being helped by a nonprofit organization back wherever they live, you can contribute through Thrive to that nonprofit organization, and we'll make sure that money gets there.
Yeah, again, we make it so easy. So, Ms. Shelley, knowing all of this, going into the next couple of years as the president, how do you see our agency going in the next couple of years?
I think I just see it thriving. I think our name says the best, right? Yeah.
That's
so
why we picked
thriving
it.
In Otero County, and hopefully, you know, the next year, 2 years, thriving in Lincoln County. So Stephanie's going to be branching out up there, and we are super excited about it as a board, and we offer all of our support to her. But too, if you are, like Rhonda was saying, if you're an employer, whether you employ one person or 500 people and you want to get involved, give Stephanie a call at the Thrive office and have her right now a virtual presentation, and you guys can get involved. And you know, we're encouraging all employers to in Otero County, you know, and going back to the 80s, 90s, mm-hmm. and when everybody was involved and you know, even kind of competing against each other. That's what I want to see in the next couple of years.
Yes.
As kind of turn that corner, going back to our roots and getting that involvement out of the community. And FAC is a perfect place to start. So
it is.
Give us a call, you know, and get your company involved, get yourself involved. And you know, I think our future is super bright. We have a great campaign that's going on right now. And
let me mention, regarding our current campaign, we are super close to hitting that goal of $400,000. Yet again, I always say this: we have such a giving community, I mean, during this pandemic, I mean, our campaign started September 1st, mm-hmm. and for to just blast it out, and here everything's shut down. We're all at home, minimal staff at the offices, you know, and we are still able to get this close to our goal. I mean, we are under $50,000 away.
Wow.
So, awesome. I mean, we just need a few more folks to step up and get those dollars in, even if it's a couple of bucks. I'm telling you, it goes. So going forward,
and remember, you don't have to be employed.
No.
You can be self-employed. You mm-hmm. can be a consultant. You can be, you know, kind of an individual person doing your own thing at home. You can be retired. We offer monthly draws on your credit card. You can do monthly draws on your checking or on your bank account. You can send a check to us every month, or you can send one lump sum check. We have so many different ways. There is absolutely no reason that every person can't find a way to contribute even a small amount. Mm-hmm. Even if you want to contribute $1, $2, $3, I promise you, we will be grateful for anything and everything you can do.
Absolutely. And Alamogordo, well, our community is the best ever. And so we know we're going to hit that goal.
I think we
100% confident.
And we have to give praise to you, Stephanie, for everything that you do.
Aww.
You are awesome.
Stephanie.
You're awesome. You do a great job.
Okay, folks, I paid them to say that.
And an awesome radio host.
Oh. Yes.
And just so that everybody knows and understands, right now with Thrive, we're not limited to Alamogordo. We serve all of Otero County, and we are hopefully expanding into Lincoln County. Some of the agencies we serve now already serve Lincoln County.
Yes, we have, just to name a few, we have COPE, Kids Inc.,
Sane,
the Sexual Assault Nurse Examiners. They all provide services in Lincoln County right now also. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of supporters in Lincoln County, Ruidoso specifically. So we will be up and around in the Lincoln County area in Ruidoso very, very soon, within the next couple of months.
Yes.
And we will be explaining yet again what it is we do and how you can help your local nonprofit. So I want to thank you all so very much for being here with me this morning, because we've been talking about this for a bit, and it finally came to fruition today. And I want to thank Mike here, my teacher, and I've been training.
Good. Sensei Mike.
it's been a party. Thank you. No, you know, we have a lot of fun I love my job. We have a lot of fun and within this organization. Thank you. I love you too. And but you know, it's based on serious things. It's based on the needs of our community. And yes. You know, it can be very dreary sometimes, and because you want to help everyone. And I want to thank you all so much for being a part of our organization, but also being here this morning for our very first Live with Thrive. My name is Stephanie Hale. I have been your host for the last hour, and I will be back next month and the second Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m. for some information from other local community partners of our organization. So thanks for listening, and we will be talking to you soon.
You've been listening to the Live with Thrive show with your host, Stephanie Hale of Thrive in Southern New Mexico. Catch the Live with Thrive show the second Tuesday of each month on KHII Active Radio, 88.9 Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and 102.3 Ruidoso.